RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping adventure is one for the record books.
And by Highway West Vacations. Highway West invites you to connect with family, friends, and nature as you experience the beauty and adventure found in the great American West. Visit HighwayWestVacations.com to start planning your next great trip today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are going back to the basics and exploring one of the most compelling parts of the RV experience, the campfire. We love posting our campfire pics on social, and we get a ton of questions about our food and gear. So on this show, we're answering them all.
What are the rules of campfire etiquette? What do you need to start and stop the campfire? And what chairs make the most comfy campfire experience? We're breaking it all down for you this week.
You might think that a good campfire requires a few logs and a match, but we know that creating the best campfire experience is an art form to be studied and mastered. You are listening to episode 137, The Fine Art of Campfire Mojo.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Before we head into this week's RVFTA News Roundup, we have a sponsored message from our friends at the Thetford Corporation.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they've been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. If you are planning on doing any camping this season without full hookups, make sure you add the Smart Tote 2 to your gear wish list.
And why? Well, because it's awesome. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if you're camping somewhere without sewer, it really is great. You don't have to like bring the RV over to the dump station and dump it out. You can just hook up the Smart Tote 2 to the back of your truck, to your hitch, and just drive it on over. Or like we saw last summer at Scudic Woods Campground, you can hook it to the back of your motorcycle.
Yeah, you just got to buy a motorcycle.
We saw somebody driving their Smart Tote 2 over to the dump station with the motorcycle. Okay, but then some of the technical details, because those matter too. Improved venting speeds the evacuation, and we all want speedy evacuation, don't we, Stephanie? And the auto stop gouge stops messy overfilling. The Smart Tote 2 also comes with rugged rubber wheels for that ride to the dump station and retractable hose with cap. So visit Thetford.com for more information. We love our Smart Tote 2. Plan on using it this summer again.
Yep. Take all those hot showers you want. All right. Now, the news roundup this week. I wanted to point out that the Girl Camper podcast, both last week and this week, has two segments with a gentleman named Mike Harlan.
Uncle Mike.
Uncle Mike, as you call him. And he is just simply one of the best RV dealership GMs in the industry. He's great. He's had a long, proven, successful career. He knows his stuff, and he runs a consumer friendly RV dealership.
Oh, he's a model for how you do this, because he brings in the education, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he is also educating the consumers, not just selling them the RV. He's developing a relationship with the RV owner.
Exactly. He understands that the main point of contact should not be the sale. It has all, you know, it's the education of that consumer and developing
a community,
a relationship.
Creating a community and a culture of camping and RVing. And it starts at the dealership.
So on episodes number 79 and 80 of Girl Camper, he did a great job of just answering some of the questions that Janine got from her girl campers. And I felt like just demystifying some of the dealership issues that people, we always hear people talking about. So I would highly encourage our listeners to head over there for some great just kind of behind the scenes conversation.
And we also want to highly recommend that our listeners use that RV Family Chatbooks code. It's only good until April 30th. Stephanie, tell us more.
Yeah, well, this week it came up in our Facebook group a couple of times, making photo books. And I cannot tell you, I have made photo books in Snapfish, at Walgreens, and in, what's the other one? Shutterfly. I've done all of those. They do not even compare to the ease and the love that I have for this Chatbooks app. It was so easy for me to make. And it was one of my spring resolutions. I am going to make a Chatbooks book. On the way home from
the boys love them so much that we can never find them.
Yeah, they're always
because they're always somewhere like in their backpack.
Well, they said they go, can we make one too? And that's another
or
nice
can they bring
thing
them to school?
Is they want now to make their own chapbook for a trip. And you know, you think about your kids have different favorite photos than you might from a trip. So it's actually a nice idea to let them make their own book with their own favorite pictures. Or if they have an iPod, they're taking pictures on their trip, let them make a book for their trip. So anyway, I just think that nothing beats it out there. It's so easy and convenient and it's stylish looking. So that code though expires on April 30th. So make one if you want to use the code RV Family.
Okay, now there's a lot of other good stuff going on our Facebook group this week, and I really recommend that you join. It's just a fun and friendly place. People talk about everything from buying an RV to best campgrounds to biscuits.
Yeah, so one of the things that has come up as a question repeatedly, usually at me, because I think most people that listen to the podcast know that Jeremy's not doing a lot with the RV oven. But so the question that is directed at me a lot is, how do you use your RV oven? I burn everything, things get burned on the bottom, and they're not done in the middle. There is a quick and simple fix to that was suggested to me about, I guess, a little over a year ago by one of our listeners. All you need is a ceramic tile from Home Depot or Lowe's or any Ace hardware shop or a pizza stone in the bottom of your RV oven over the heating element. This recommendation is given a lot. Not a lot of people take it. Well, someone in our group, Dawn, she posted in the group, she said, I used the advice on the pizza stone and I made perfect biscuits this past weekend. So bravo, Dawn, and anybody else out there that wants to use their RV oven, just get that stone and you will fix the problems.
Do you know what I think of when you say perfect biscuits?
No.
You really don't?
I really don't.
A restaurant. North Carolina. I'll keep giving hints. Asheville.
Tupelo Honey?
Tupelo Honey.
All right, there you
and
go.
And now they're in Myrtle Beach, too.
Yeah.
Wow, those are good biscuits.
Yeah, I just feel like the one in Myrtle Beach is not as good.
Not as good?
No.
Oh, nothing's
our last
ever
trip
as good
there,
as the original.
I was kind of like, this is getting a little,
Now listen.
Grown too fast.
I'm really excited for this episode. And we do actually develop our episodes sometimes weeks in advance. And by the time we're recording it, we've sort of hashed the whole thing out several times. We really planned this one very quickly and spontaneously on the fly. And it kind of reminded me a little bit about our first 20 episodes or 30 episodes where we would like sit down Friday night, develop the episode, and then do it. So this one feels very fresh to me and I'm very excited to do it. So it's the Fine Art of Campfire Mojo. And we're going to break it down into three different segments. Segment one is going to be guidelines for creating Campfire Mojo. Segment two is going to be gear for the campfire. And segment three is going to be all about camp chairs, and very specifically Cabela's camp chairs, because they got some great ones out this year that we want you to try. So stay tuned and get ready for some serious campfire mojo. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our featured topic, the fine art of campfire mojo. We're about to dive into segment one, which is like 8 or 9 awesome tips and guidelines for creating campfire mojo. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco, and they've been creating campfire mojo for almost 50 years.
Jayco's J-Feather is easy to tow, easy to set up, and adapts to provide a comfortable retreat for you and your favorite camping companions. Available in 7-foot and 8-foot wide models, it's the centerpiece of campsite. Everyone will enjoy and comes with the peace of mind of Jayco's 2-year limited warranty. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
We have hardly started this podcast, and I'm ready to be sitting by a campfire right now.
When aren't
you? But we have hard work to do. We need to share these tips with our listeners. So our first tip Okay, first guideline for creating good campfire mojo, and we know that all of you want that good campfire mojo. We here at RVFTA believe that the campfire should begin before the kids go to bed so that there's family time around the campfire, roasting marshmallows, hot dogs, whatever it is that you do. But then the campfire should continue after they go to bed so that mom and dad have some time alone around the campfire. Now, don't leave the campfire unattended while you're putting the kids to bed, okay? Take turns putting them to bed or keep an eye on it, whatever. But start the campfire before bedtime, finish it after.
Yeah, you know, we talk about this a lot. Like at home, your patterns are different than they are with camping. And at home, it's so easy. Like kids go to bed, you just like retreat. You're watching like this show, somebody's reading in the other room. And at the campground, the campfire really has that tendency to draw couples together. You spend time together in a way that you might not at home. And it's really good to just take advantage of that and not get caught up in like, okay, just have the campfire while the kids are awake, make s'mores, put it out. Everybody goes into the camper and sort of settles down for the night.
Or, you know, conversely, to not have a campfire while the kids are awake, put them to bed and then light the campfire. Like that tortures our boys when we do that. Like they'll look out the window and be like, what's going on out there?
We did that when they were little. And then eventually they got old enough that they were like, we want to come to the campfire. And we realized that we had to change, you know, our schedule. And that's what this is all about. Like you always are adapting and changing for the season of the life you're in with your kids. So,
all right, let's talk firewood. Why don't we? There's a couple important things about firewood. It should be dry, well-seasoned firewood. Remember when we were in Acadia National Park and we said something at the KOA about like the firewood being cheaper across the road? Or she overheard us saying it, one of the workers, and she's like, that firewood's green. You know, like it wasn't dry and well-seasoned firewood. So you need dry, well-seasoned firewood. And it should be from in-state. Follow the rules and regulations. I know I sound fuddy-duddy, and I will confess, early in my camping years to transporting firewood across state lines. Oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. But then I read more about it, and it is actually very problematic, okay? You could be transporting bugs that are no good, that will invade.
Entire ecosystems have been wiped out by, you know, beetles that have been transported from other regions and everything. So, you know, this really affects the environment. And I know it's something that environmentalists who know what they're talking about live in fear of, like, the next, you know, bug epidemic
to hit an area. It's not a scam from the campgrounds to buy their campwood. A lot of people want to bring their firewood from home because it could be more expensive to buy wood at the campground. Now, there are ways around that. A lot of times people will sell firewood in their yards or on the side of the road on the drive into the campground at a much more competitive price. So just find a place locally near the campground where you can get good wood. Then you want to cut it into smaller pieces. I really believe in taking some kind of an axe, or I have an Estwing fireside friend, and chopping that wood into nice thin pieces because it burns very quickly and it burns warmly and you get that campfire rocking and rolling right away. I think so many times people have trouble getting their campfires going because their pieces of firewood are too big.
Well, and those big logs just sit there and smolder. You know, they don't burn. Like, you know, and they don't give that full glow, that full warm fire glow. It's just like burning.
And what does smoke do? It just dampens the mojo.
Absolutely. So you want like to minimize the smoke, maximize the flame.
Wow. That was like a haiku.
Boom. Okay.
It's like something from one of the ancient Roman poets.
All right.
Number three. I think that you can have a weenie roast, or you can use that colored fire powder that you buy at the campground that makes the fire turn green and blue and red and purple and all the colors of the rainbow. But I don't think you should do both on the same night, because we did that once, and I don't think it's healthy.
Oh, please stop. You do the weenie roast first, and you do the – are you joking with this? Like –
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you roast the hot dogs and then you do the colored
powder.
Our
listeners are going to be like, you put in
one time I did put in the colored powder and then I roasted the weenies.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like gave me x-ray.
Where was
I? It like gave me x-ray vision for like 24 hours.
No.
It freaked me out.
Right. So make sure if you're going to use the colored fire powder stuff that kids love.
Oh my God, do they love it.
And we recommended it, I think, on our holiday gift guide.
Do they sell that in like an organic version?
No.
It's basically powdered chemicals.
Yeah. So if you want to use that, make sure that everybody is done doing any sort of camp cooking before
you. Don't let the little ones mistake it for candy either.
No.
Because it is not.
No.
Right?
If you have a child too, we did that for stocking stuffers, but if you have a child with a birthday like in the spring or summer months, that's a fun little birthday
present
too.
We got a big box of of it from Amazon.
Yeah.
And saving a lot of money on the campground price.
They sell it in bulk.
Okay. Number four is about safety, because you want a safe campfire if you're going to have good campfire mojo. So we create a circle with chairs and tables around the campfire, and then we strictly enforce the no running or roughhousing within the circle rule, because the kids want to get inside the circle and still run around and wrestle. And look, you can trip over a chair and end up in the fire, my goodness. So when you're inside the circle, you are relaxing, you are sitting, and you are being safe.
Yeah. So the circle, you know, some people don't block off their ring all the way. And we actually do try to block it all the way off. And that really helps if you've got the littles on your site. And I also added number five, because I want to even add to this and say that, like, you know, I really think it's worth it to set clear and strict, to sort of be the fuddy-duddy guideline maker around the campfire for behavior with kids. Because this, thank God we've never had an incident.
Wesley tripped and fell into an unlit campfire ring.
And I think that was
frightened,
like,
me.
Right. Look at how easy that happens. And, you know, one of the things that we do is it's very easy not to model good behavior, because as adults, we might like reach out with our toe and like kick a log in. But if kids
you've melted some shoes that way.
Well, I was just being too close. Now, my shoe melted because I was sitting with my shoes too close to the fire. But we'll talk about that zero gravity issue in the next segment. So you might throw some plate into the fire, and you know that it's a paper plate, and so you know it's okay. But you know what? The kids that are watching you, they don't know all the rules. So then, you know, all of a sudden you've got kids that are throwing things into the fire and everything. So we're a little fuddy-duddy and strict about it. And it's annoying at the beginning, right? Because you're like, no, sit down. Or we don't let kids like go from one chair to the other in the circle. You have to go around the circle.
And we don't
back.
Like throwing in all kinds of garbage into the campfire, because we cook over the campfire. So I don't want people throwing in stuff that
and
might have dyes
kids-
or inks in it.
Yeah, you give kids an inch and it really does get out of control. Like, you let the kids throw the little kindling in, and then all of a sudden kids are like running around the campfire,
let's
gathering
burn the
up
whole garbage
leaves
bag.
And they're like just throwing it in. So as much as, you know, I think we have a lot of fun with our kids at the campground. I don't think that having fun with fire has to be
things. Like relaxing certain rules and letting the kids run free at the campground is certainly something we do from time to time, if not all the time, but not around the campfire.
Yeah.
Okay. Number six, invite friends. Campfires are made for friends. Okay. There's that saying that goes around, like, the oldest form of social media. Now, if you're camping somewhere and you don't have friends with you, you're not camping with friends, make some new friends. Campgrounds are great places to say, hey, come over and join us at the campfire. You want to share some of our food, or do you want a drink or whatever? Get social around the campfire.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you all might have met somebody at the campground, but you might not feel comfortable saying, hey, if you want to stop by later to the campfire. But we've actually had some great campfires with our next door neighbors that we've met at campgrounds, and not just people with kids. Like when we were at the Myrtle Beach KOA, we met that older couple from Canada who was staying next door. And they invited us over after the kids were in bed. They're like, oh, come on over and have a drink. And we did. We had a lovely time talking to them.
We had a lovely evening with them. I left them one of my Estwing fireside friends, wood splitters, as a gift. There was such good mojo shared around that campfire. I left them a gift.
And like I said, they were an older couple. And I see that because it's so nice to meet people outside of your, like, oh, you're just family, you know, you're just parents like we are with young kids, because they had camped with their kids when they were younger. And they had so many stories to tell us. And it was wonderful. And then I think of the Jellystone up in Gardner, New York. And we met that couple that was next door
with the whole week with them.
A kid. And right, we didn't just – so we did like laser tag and everything.
But it then, started around the campfire.
Right. We had the campfire together. We had a good time. We just loved talking about life and everything.
Let's face it. If you meet another family or some friends at the campground and you just invite them over to your RV, that could sound weird. It's a little weird. If you say, hey, you want to come over to our campfire, it flows.
Yeah.
It works.
And right, like we have a friend who has a cup. That was my favorite cup I just saw last week. It said camping without beer is just sitting in the woods, right? It's like inviting somebody, which is just fantastic, right? But the whole, like, there's a connection here.
Yeah.
Wait for it. There's a connection here. My point is, it's like, it's, you know, don't just invite somebody over for a campfire. Say like, oh, you want to come over and have a drink. It breaks that ice, you know, or hey, we're having s'mores. You want to come over for s'mores. Break the ice in that way. It's a nice way to make new friends.
Number seven. I really like this one, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Practice the fine art of casual conversation. No politics or religion. There is so much political dialogue in our culture, not so much religious dialogue necessarily, but so much political dialogue in our culture, why does that have to take place around the campfire? Go home and watch the news if you want that, right? So it is a fine art to talk casually about things that are not controversial and are not going to start an argument. And we all know that person that just always has to talk about politics. Not around my campfire,
sir. Or just make comments that like just drop like lead balloons because everybody else is being
sensitive. It's almost like they're poking you. It's almost like they're poking the bear. Like they want to test you and see what you think or who you voted for.
Yeah.
But why go there?
Yeah.
You have that conversation in a million other forums in our culture. I don't think it's okay for the campfire.
Well, that's the thing is it is about practice, right? Do you have the depth in you to talk about other things?
It's like, about relaxing.
Right. People talk about their travels. That's a great thing that all of us can share together.
Favorite campgrounds.
It's something
places.
That's easy. People talk cooking. People talk, nutrition issues. You know, like sometimes me and other girlfriends who are sitting around the campfire will like chat about food and stuff. Like those are great conversations to have.
Have you ever had a relaxing conversation about politics?
With our good friends who agree with every single thing.
But you know what?
Say.
I got to tell you though, even with people that agree with my politics, I don't find it relaxing to talk about.
Yeah, people can get worked up.
I want to unwind.
Just leave it at the door and don't be the person who pokes the bear, like, you know, Jeremy was saying. Like, don't be the person who just steps a little bit over the line and mentions something that you know there may be people around the campfire
who
feel uncomfortable
with. Like establishing their turf or something.
Yeah.
It's almost like a dog peeing in the woods.
I was going to say on the campfire.
No, it's almost like a dog. Like, I'm going to mark my territory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, next one, number 8. Have some campfire cooking staples other than s'mores. This is such a Stephanie rule for Campfire Mojo. Popcorn, pie iron pizzas, monkey bread, stuffed baked apples. And I agree with that. You know, frankly, the kids love s'mores. It's not really relaxing to make s'mores for me as a dad because Wesley ends up with marshmallow in his hair.
There's chocolate
all over their faces. They're kind of a big disgusting mess, all right? Not to get controversial here because s'mores are almost as controversial as politics around some campfires. But I love the idea of just having some other fun foods to do around the campfire.
Yeah, we did. Aunt Janine brought Jiffy Pop to the campground a couple of months ago. And we, you know, who had seen a Jiffy Pop in ages? And we did that over the campfire and that was really fun for the boys. Using the high irons. It's just like a fun way to be a little creative. The monkey bread is a favorite one in the Dutch oven.
When are you going to make that again?
In 2 weekends.
Okay.
I have it on
the
land. And then again, the stuffed baked apples. Like for somebody that likes more of a pie thing, like you just core out the apple, you fill it with yummy like brown sugar or nuts, walnuts kind of a thing, and then wrap it in
tin
foil.
And stay tuned to the gear segment we're going to do for some more ideas. Now also look, weenie roasts are such a clean, simple, quick, easy way to make a dinner around the campfire. All right, number 9. I think that having a dog is the ultimate campfire accessory for Campfire Mojo. There's nothing more I love about Maggie than when she comes up to the campfire and sort of curls up close next to it and cuddles with the boys and just sits out there and just chills out with us. It just adds that finishing touch to our personal Campfire Mojo. So if you don't have a dog, you might think about getting one.
Yeah, and then teach them not to light their tails on fire because she's always getting a little too close to it. When she turns around, I'm like, Maggie,
she's
your
never
tail.
Had an accident.
No,
fire.
No, which makes me nervous.
Our last tip, number 10. I fully believe in extinguishing the campfire with water and not letting it burn out. I know there are some other RV dads out there that might disagree with me and don't do it that way. I just really believe in fully extinguishing the fire. I don't want to go to bed and be worried about the fire. And also, times when I have not fully extinguished the fire, sometimes like you wake up a couple hours later and you see that the fire has relit itself, particularly if you're using Duraflame or anything like that. Like you could kind of let the fire die down or pour a little bit of water over it and the fire can actually regenerate and come back. So
do the Boy Scouts tell you to fully extinguish a fire?
I believe they do.
Yes, they do. Does Smokey the Bear tell you to fully extinguish a fire?
I think he does.
Yes. So then if Smokey the Bear and the Boy Scouts tell you to do something, it's the right thing to
do. And I want a bear hug from Smokey.
I know.
I don't want to be mad at me. And look, oh my God, look what happened in Great Smoky Mountains. I mean, look at these forest fires that start. You know, like we
don't
been,
be lazy. Like that's the thing is extinguishing
is
a fire.
Like,
it's just, that's just a lazy
I
issue.
Often get fill a big jug of water before the fire and I just have it sitting there. So as soon as I'm ready, it's like, okay, it's done. I don't need to go back into the camper and get water. I don't need to get a hose out. It's just right there.
Or you used to when we had the outdoor kitchen on the White Hawk, you would use our coiled up hose that was attached to the outdoor kitchen.
If you have an outdoor kitchen, you could attach a hose to it and just douse it that way. So I fully believe in putting the fire all the way out. out so you can have a good night's sleep and so that everybody's safe.
All right. Now, I can't tell you. We've done campfire gear on different gear guides in the past, spread out, of course, on, you know, some holiday gift guides. But I can't tell you no matter what, because it's all been spread out and here and there. Every single time we post campfire photos, we get a question about like the, you know, this or that, or where'd you get that? So we decided we were going to put it all the campfire gear together in a couple of segments coming up. So stay tuned for our first list of gear for the campfire up next.
Okay, welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two. We're going to talk about gear for around the campfire and some of our favorite things to have near the campfire. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Highway West Vacations.
Highway West Vacations offers luxury accommodations throughout the western United States. Stay in your own RV or tent or rent a vintage trailer, Airstream, cabin, or cottage. Each resort offers unique spaces and stylish accommodations located in dreamy destinations in Utah, California, Washington, and Oregon. Come explore the great outdoors and experience a new way of vacationing as you travel the Highway West. Visit highwaywestvacations.com to start planning today.
I can't wait to be having some campfire mojo at a couple of those Highway West vacations. Mm-hmm. Let's dive into campfire gear. One of my all-time favorite pieces of gear, period, something that I've had since we started doing this, is the Estwing Fireside Friend. It's so much better than an axe to me because it's basically an axe with a much heavier head. So it just makes it really easy to split firewood. So even though the firewood that you buy at the campground might be split already, I like to usually split it again a second time into smaller pieces because it burns more quickly and it burns warmer. And that Estwing Fireside Friend is an awesome tool. It is a tool I will give to the boys one day. It will last longer than
I will. Well, you were giving them lessons on that last weekend.
Well, Max and Theo asked if they could split firewood. I'm not going to recommend that you do that with your kids. That's totally up to you. But I figured, you know what? It's kind of a manly dad thing to let the boys try and split the firewood. I safely allowed them to do that. I kept a really close eye on it, and they each split firewood for the first time, and they were pretty excited.
All right. Another thing that we've had for a long time and we love breaking out around the campfire are Toastite grills. So these are classic pie irons, right? So people might know them as pie irons. It has two sides of cast iron, and you put whatever you want to put inside, some sort of outside filling like bread or tortillas or whatever it is you want, and then some sort of inside filling, like a pie filling, like an apple pie filling, eggs and bacon.
How about those turkey Reubens we made?
Yeah, hot ham and cheese sandwiches. Oh. But one of our boys' favorite became the pizzas. I made these simple little pizzas out of literally wheat bread, like, and then sauce and cheese and maybe some pepperoni or something. And the boys loved
them. I'm determined to use the Toastites more this summer than last summer. We slipped away from it a little bit. I want to become the Toastite sandwich master. All right, up next, if you're just doing marshmallows around the campfire, we love Rolla Roasters. They're a great product. You put two marshmallows on the end. You can twist it and rotate the marshmallows so that they cook evenly. Do you cook a marshmallow? No, you roast a marshmallow.
I don't do anything to a marshmallow.
Stephanie hates marshmallows. So if you're just a marshmallow family, we recommend the Rolla Roasters. If you want to get more adventurous with your campfire cooking and your marshmallows and your weenies, we are excited about these products called Firebugs. Our friend Hector whipped out a firebug last fall, right,
mm-hmm.
at Turkey Swamp Park. And it was adorable. Can you describe it a little bit?
It looks like a fishing pole. So it looks like a rod, right? And then it has like this, the quote unquote string hanging down. And then on the end, you can attach whatever it is that you want to
roast.
It could
be a hot dog.
Right.
It could be marshmallows. I think it could even be other larger items.
It's really cute. So it looks like you're fishing over the fire, but what you're doing is you're roasting
it. Oh my God, it was such a cute product. So Hector showed it to us. He loves it. Great product. And then we just got a set from Cabela's that we were really excited to use this year.
Yeah. So we'll be fire bugging it away at the campfire.
We'll be fire bugging it. All right. Now, this could get controversial, you know, and I don't know if
an RV FTA podcast with that little controversy?
I don't know if I've ever fully confessed that
I think you did one time. I think
well,
we
I'm going to do it again.
This. I don't know.
I'm a Duraflame man around the campfire, and I can start a fire without a Duraflame log, no problem. I can snap my fingers and start a campfire. It's not an issue of not being able to start a campfire. I just really like using a Duraflame log. I think it makes the fire start up more quickly, and I think it makes the fire last longer. Now, Duraflame logs are a wee bit expensive, I think, and I often do kind of hesitate to buy them because of the price. So what I do is I chop them up into like fourths, right? So each log will give me four campfires because I just need that one little chunk to get the fire going.
Yeah, let's be clear. You're not doing Duraflame logs for our whole campfire. That's
basically
your preferred fire
starter.
It's a fire
starter. Yeah, I'm just splitting it up and using a chunk.
Yeah, like so there's lots of other fire starters that people use. The lint, the candle wax, all those kinds of things. But you just have always just chopped off a fourth, you throw it in the fire ring, you pile the wood around it, and you almost like don't have to think about it.
I think I want to do a poll on RVFTA, the group, about whether using Duraflame is manly or not.
People won't admit that they use it.
Because like, you can't do it anonymously on the phone.
Yeah. Like, I think that's just something that people are like, oh, I have to be authentic, right? And you know us. We like are like, whatever, authenticity, whatever.
Authenticity is so overrated.
Whatever. We don't care.
Okay. I love having a good headlamp around the campfire. So having hands free to chop the wood or do whatever I need to do.
Read.
And not be – or to – yeah, exactly. To read – once the fire is all set up, to read around the campfire. I like to have both hands free. I've always loved Petzl headlamps. I think they're the most comfortable, the lightest weight. Best made headlamps. I have one. Stephanie has one. She doesn't wear it as much as
I
do.
No, because I don't really like it. I'm going to be completely honest on this. I have never found a headlamp that I truly love. In fact, I'm like kind of on the hunt for an alternative. Remember when we were young, Barnes & Noble started selling the Itty Bitty Book Light? Do you remember that? There was like
totally
a craze,
yes,
the Itty Bitty Book Light.
Yeah.
And I had an Itty Bitty Book Light. And I'm honestly like, I'm tempted to go back and to find something like that
I
that
bet you
attaches
they still make the
more to like
book light.
The book as opposed
See, cause
to.
See, because you're focused on reading. I mean, if we're starting a campfire after dark, I really do need both of my hands free and the headlamp's essential to me.
Yeah, but I don't know. The headlamp is not very comfortable for me. It's too heavy.
Do you
on
know
my
what
delicate
I used
head.
To use the headlamp for? Changing the boys' diapers in the middle of the night. You throw that headlamp on, you got both hands free, you can do a diaper change lickety split, not have any mess, not accidentally get the stuff all over you.
Thank God those days are over.
All right, now everyone's been noticing that we love our rope lights. And I think, you know, dare I say it, we may have started a trend.
Well, yes, but we didn't come up with the idea ourselves. So full credit to a friend who we camped with that had the idea.
Was that Hector again?
It was Laura. Laura had the rope
Hector.
Lights.
Double
and,
shout out.
Yeah, they're very like hacky that way on the campground. They're like full of their little hacks, you know? And
well, Laura was a Girl Scout.
She was a Girl Scout and she acts like it at the campground. You know, she comes up with these like great ideas. So the thing about the rope lights, this is the funniest question that we constantly get. Do people trip over it? The whole idea originally came from Laura got them because she liked to demarcate the campsite. She wanted people to be able to see where like an area might end.
Where
like,
some firewood is or where the chairs are. And that's what it does. It lights up the whole site so you don't trip.
I know. It's so funny. So everybody's like, oh, do people trip over lights? And I'm always like, no, that's the point.
We've never tripped over the lights. And then
never.
You see all of the other stuff. You clearly see your whole site. And you know, oh my gosh, with our kids, a bike will end up in the weirdest place in the middle of the campsite.
Yeah.
Or a helmet or something. And those lights just light things up enough that you can see everything. And it's awesome for your photos.
So we don't have any brand loyalty on the rope lights. We bought them. We've gotten them from three places. Christmas tree shops. Then I got a set from Big Lots. And then this year we actually got them off of Amazon on a wheel. So, you know, we've gotten them from different places. I don't know if there's like one that's so much higher.
Not that I know.
I really just
they're
think
probably
that,
made in all the same factory.
And they're not going to last you forever. You're not going to get these rope lights and get like 10 seasons
out
of them,
Christmas
people.
Tree shops ones funked out already.
Yeah.
So hopefully the ones we bought from Amazon this year are a little
we'll
bit better.
We'll see. But like, to be honest, they're not that expensive.
Disposably
and if you,
priced.
Yeah, they are disposably priced. Don't expect like high levels of quality.
I think it's important to have some good lanterns around the campfire. We just got some new ones from Cabela's that we haven't tested out yet, but we want to test out. Whether it's your traditional Coleman lantern or just something you got at the big box store, I don't think it matters which lantern you get. But it's nice to have a couple lanterns out on the picnic table. It makes it look warm and cozy, and it's good in case somebody needs to take a run to the bathroom or whatever it might be.
All right, fire powder. If you you are trying to get your kids to settle down around the campsite,
the colored fire powder.
You might understand what we're talking about when you say you literally have to train kids for campfire time. Kids are not used to, even like adults, right? We're not used to just relaxing and hanging out anymore. We're always looking for some stimulation. Fire powder is actually really great for that because kids will sit there and like gaze at,
mesmerized.
Yeah, they'll like gaze at the campfire and like watch the colors and like talk about what colors they're seeing and everything.
So I think we could almost brainwash them during that time.
We probably could hypnotize
them. You will behave at the campground.
When you go to bed, you will not ask for water.
You will go right to sleep. You will wake up at 8 and not 6 a.m. Let's try it next time.
All right.
All right. So last, you need camp chairs.
Yes.
And camp chairs are so important. People on our forums have been asking about camp chairs. We're kind of camp chair freaks. We have always wanted to get the best camp chairs. And now that Cabela's is a sponsor of the show, we are going to do a run through of their lineup of awesome camp chairs for this season. They've hit it out of the park on almost all of these.
All right, stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment 3 of our big episode, The Fine Art of Campfire Mojo. Now we're talking about camp chairs, because if you have an uncomfortable camp chair, there will be no mojo.
Yeah, nothing else matters. And this was something that was posted to our Facebook group this week again. This question gets asked over and over again, and we've actually featured different camp chairs as recommendations at different times. But the bottom line is that there is no one perfect camp chair for everybody. And so we said, we've actually been doing like the great camp chair product testing at our campsite over the last
Cabela's
month.
Sent us about 5 different types of camp chairs to test out. And they're all great in different ways. But we're going to give you a run through of Cabela's lineup for their camp chairs for 2017. Just one thing I want to make clear about these, all of these camp chairs, before we go into the individual features, is that all of them have a lifetime guarantee. So that's worth its weight in gold. And all of them are very competitively priced. So if you compare them to similar camp chairs from other companies, I think you're going to see a better price at Cabela's. So why don't we dive in and talk about camp chairs, all right?
All right, let's go.
Are you
go.
Ready?
I'm ready.
We should be sitting in camp chairs
now. Yeah, well, we're going to start off number one. You put on what I think is your runaway hit for the camp chair. I think in your mind, there's no better camp chair option than the zero gravity option,
okay.
Right?
I love my Cabela's XL padded lounger. You can also get the standard padded lounger. The XL is $84.99. The standard is $76.49. They both have a capacity of 300 pounds. So it's not like the XL holds more weight. It's just bigger. It's just wider and more comfortable for like a bigger guy. Once you've entered zero gravity, I feel like you can't go back in terms of a camp chair.
And I disagree.
You really disagree, and you have very good reasons for disagreeing. Mm-hmm. But I find these incredibly, incredibly comfortable, and I really just relax and unwind in these zero gravity chairs.
They are comfortable, but I find them more comfortable in terms of lounging. If I have an afternoon at the campground that I'm going to read a book or something like that, or sit in the sun, I really feel like this is a comfortable option. But over the years, having one of these, I realized that this is not my ideal campfire chair.
Because they don't keep you warm enough, do they? Because
right.
When you enter zero gravity, you move away from the campfire.
Yeah. So your feet are super close, and then the bottoms of my Uggs actually burnt off one time.
Or I even remember you turning sideways, and then you're like, one side of my body is warm, the other
isn't.
Well,
that's what I did for the last year or so. I would just put it sideways so that at least most of my body was close to the campfire and not pointed away like my head was. So for me, the zero gravity is great as a away from the fire, just anywhere on the campsite during the day option.
I never noticed until right now that you only sit in the zero gravity chairs during the daytime.
Yeah.
And now that you've just said that, I realize, oh, you choose a chair based on whether it's campfire or not campfire.
Yeah.
So that's a compelling reason to want a different type of chair, I have to admit. But I just do think the zero gravity chairs are significantly, significantly more comfortable.
They are, but there's a time and a place for everything. Like the time that I asked you to, over the phone, I was watching the boys' soccer game and you were on your way and I said, bring me a chair. And you showed up with the zero gravity chair to the soccer game, which was like the greatest embarrassment for me. Like I like,
well, they're a little too big for something like that.
I looked like, and I was listen, lounging.
Let me make another point about the Cabela's XL padded lounger and the standard padded lounger, which also you could call them zero gravity chairs. If you have a very small RV or a pop-up camper, they do take up quite a bit more room, where all of the other chairs that we are going to mention fold up into a very compact package.
Well,
so
let's
think about size.
Yeah, let's go to the most compact option next then, okay? Because on the flip side of the coin, you have the Cabela's hard arm chair, which this is not the most comfortable of the Cabela's chairs. This is not lounging chair. However, it really is the most compact, lightweight, and easy, I think, to
transport. Out of the adult chairs.
Yes.
But I'll hold that thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one folds up into a very compact package. It is very comfortable. A couple of our friends sat in this recently, and they did like that hard arm. It was a little bit more comfortable. It's padded, actually. I don't know why they call it a hard arm.
Well, because
chair.
It's like a solid. You know, it's not like a soft canvas on the sides like the other chairs are.
It is actually a hard arm, but yeah. It is padded.
Yeah. So I the first time I was sitting in that, I was like, this is perfect for the soccer game, baseball game, tailgate. This chair is so easy. If you were going to a festival, that is what I would use this
Throw
one
it in
for.
The back of a small car. Yep. It would fit just mm-hmm. fine. That's $50.99. It also holds a really sturdy 300 pounds for such a small, compact chair. I'm impressed. All right. Let's move on to the Cabela's Camp Rocker. I love this, even though it's not the one I choose to sit in around the campfire. I mean, I just think the idea of rocking, and occasionally I have had Wesley like sit in my lap and then I rock in this one. So the Cabela's Camp Rocker is $59.49, and it you can have up to 250-pound capacity in this chair. And for a rocker, it folds up into a relatively compact package. It's not
this
as big as you would think.
This is my favorite out of the new camp chair options. So I really like the rocker for the campfire. I want it to relax, and I think a rocking chair is a good form of relaxation, whereas the zero gravity lounger was not getting me close enough to the campfire. I really like the rocker. I think this is great. The only thing to consider is if you camp at places that have a lot of gravel, you're not going to be rocking in it so much.
Because it would be like noisy and not as much relaxing.
No, it just isn't going to rock. Okay. I mean, it, you know, if it's on a gravel, it's just not going to rock. Whereas if you're on grass or if you're on a cement patio, you are going to be able to rock.
It's worth mentioning at this point that most of these chairs come in a couple different colors. So there's like a dark gray with black and a little bit of yellow trim. That's the one that we like. We like those the most right now because they match our
Jayco
Octane.
Well, they go with our, yeah.
Then there's also ones that come in teal green, and then some of them also come in like a nice brown color as
well. Yeah, so if you look at our pictures from last year, you'll see some of that teal, the blue color, because I love the way that that looked with our White Hawk. Well, now I like the way that the black and gray look with the Octane. So, you know, it all has to go together.
Up next, Wesley has his own youth quad chair, which matches all our adult chairs, so it fits in seamlessly in terms of the look. And I am just thrilled about this because we don't have to have like the Spider-Man or Lightning McQueen camp chairs around the campfire anymore. I just frankly don't like the way those branded chairs look that have cartoon characters on them. This one's only $21.24, and it holds a hefty 95 pounds, so a pretty big kid could technically sit in this chair, though Max and Theo want to be in the adult chairs. They do not want to sit in a chair this size because I think they associate it with Wes and it being a little.
Oh, they graduated into adult chairs last year. They were having none of the little chairs anymore. In fact, they very ceremoniously like handed down their little chairs to Wes and were like, Wes, you can now sit in these. Wes loves his little chair, and I love the fact that it matches all the rest of our chairs. I know this sounds so crazy, but I don't like a hodgepodge of different chairs.
You don't.
No,
she doesn't.
I want them all.
She's got
kinda...
so many hodgepodges in her life. She doesn't want a hodgepodge because it ruins the mojo. Or
yeah.
It lessens the mojo. I like the $21 price point, to tell you the truth.
Right.
So if you have four kids, you can get four really nice chairs for like less than $90.
All right. So what are the boys sitting in?
All right. So, and I think these are at the heart of the lineup. I think these are like a lot of our listeners might want to go with these because these really are more like the standard camp chairs.
And they're affordable.
And they're affordable. So you have the Cabela's XL quad chair. $42.49. It holds up to 500 pounds. My goodness. Okay. Yeah. Stephanie could sit on my lap and all the boys could sit on my lap. And then there's also just the Cabela's quad chair. It's the same price and it holds 400 pounds. And these are your classic traditional camp chairs at a great price. They, for the XL, they added this zippered pouch, and Theo will only sit at this chair because he loves that pouch to store his Rubik's Cube.
Just like his dad. Oh, it has a storage compartment. I can put my stuff in it.
And this one, yeah, and this one is in that teal color. So it's not, for us, the ones we have, it's not in that gray and black.
Yeah.
So I set up all the gray and black chairs at the campfire last weekend, and Theo's like, where's my chair?
Where's my pouch?
And I was like, which one are you talking about? I have all of them out here. And he's like, no, I want the chair with the pouch because he wanted a place to put his Rubik's Cube.
While he's sitting by the campfire.
And then he didn't put his Rubik's Cube in there.
Of course
he just played with his Rubik's Cube. He just wanted to know that if he needed to store it, he could.
No DNA test needed for this kid. He is
and
your
since the
child.
Other one's a twin, there's no DNA test needed on Max either.
All right. So those are great for the kids, but your whole family, you could easily get five of those, four of those, however many
and
in your family.
And you could get different chairs that match, that have the same color and pattern. And again, you know, like the padded loungers, those are $84 chairs. But if you look at other companies, those can be $120, right? So those are really nice chairs.
All right. The last one, it may not need to be on this list, but we couldn't help but
Stephanie
on the list.
Stephanie could not resist. They're not making this one anymore. You still might be able to grab one at your
That's
local
why
Cabela's
we're putting
store.
It on.
The Cabela's Club Chair. It has
a
225-pound capacity. It's about $59.99. Comfy, cozy. It's like that out-of-print book that you loved or that out-of-print LP by your favorite band that you just can't get anymore.
I love this club chair. It's so cozy. It is my choice for by the fire. I love the fact that it keeps your whole self cozy, right? Because
there's no
it's
opening
a closed
on it
back.
It's a closed
You're
circle.
Like cuddled up in it and you're getting all the campfire warmth, but like your back isn't cold. Your arms aren't cold.
So it fills up with mojo and the mojo can't escape anywhere.
These are awesome. Now, yes, they are a little bulky, but the thing that you said is that one of the things you like about the Cabela's chairs is that the bags are are big enough that you can put them away.
I'm so glad you said that. And it's a small thing to say, like, it's my favorite thing about the chairs. I hate when you buy camp chairs and the bag is too small to get the chair back into, right? Like, once
or
it's once it's been actually used a few times, the chair's kind of, you know, spread out a little bit, as it were. And then you got to shove it back into the bag and it's like work. The Cabela's bags are just big enough that the chairs slide right back in. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
And they're not, the bags are also not those El Cheapo kind of like, totally 100% polyester feel. The bags are a little bit sturdier and I think will last a lot longer.
So you don't necessarily need all of these camp chairs, but within this lineup, it's interesting to think about what the right camp chair is for you and to kind of think about the pros and the cons of each one depending on how you camp and how you sit by the campfire.
My top choice is the Cabela's XL padded lounger, but I am perfectly happy with the Cabela's XL quad chair. So if you're like a big strong guy like me, you got one.
Brother.
Look, you got the quad chair at about the $40 price point. If you want something more luxurious, you can hop up to the $84 price point. They're both great chairs.
All right. And so my number one choice ever for comfort in a camp chair is the Cabela's Club Chair. But if you cannot find one and snap it up before they're all gone, I love the Camp Rocker. That's my next one. I love rocking next to the campfire. I think that that's like the best development in camp chairs recently is that rocker thing. So that's my next pick.
Okay. Sounds good. We will be back in a second to wrap up our show. Thank you so much for listening to episode 137 of RVFTA, The Fine Art of Campfire Mojo, and we wish you good campfire mojo all season long. And also a big thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, to the Thetford Corporation, to Cabela's, and to Highway West Vacations.
All right, Jeremy. So we know you're not authentic in, you know, how you get the fire started. But what about how you actually...
Oh, she's making fun of me for using Duraflame. on air. Just got mocked.
But how about how you actually stack the wood? What's your method there?
Well, I'm not a teepee guy.
No?
I've never been a teepee guy when stacking firewood. I've always been a log cabin guy.
It makes sense, but I was taught teepee method.
And your dad was a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
My dad,
it was like teepee all the way. In fact, this newfangled log cabin, it seems like new, this log cabin
thing. I don't think
thing.
The log cabin method of stacking firewood is new. I like it because you build your log cabin up and then you shove it with paper. Maybe a little piece of Duraflame, for goodness
sake. Yeah, well, that's why.
And then you put on a couple pieces on the top, and it burns very nicely. I wonder if the teepee snobs out there, who are all about, like, the teepee, is it because the smoke more centrally
discharges? No, it's because you actually build the teepee around the different steps in the fire-burning process. So, like, your paper, if you're crumbling up paper or linen, whatever, you put that in the center. And then you build your kindling around that. So then as that goes up, it catches the kindling. And then you put your bigger, you know, logs around that.
I have an idea. How about you build the campfire next
time,
I'm
too
girl.
Busy cooking your food like a good woman.
You are not a good woman. And I mean that as a compliment.
Thanks, yeah. Hey, I'm not bringing you your slippers.
Let us know on our forum if you're log cabin or teepee, okay? We'll put up a little poll. Let's do a poll to celebrate this episode this week.
Right.
And we'll do a separate poll. Are you a Duraflame man or not a Duraflame man?
All right. I know the answer to that ahead of time.
Hey, thanks for listening and enjoy those campfires all season long.
We'll see you at the campfire.